confessed this morning that he loves you.
Amen.
Amen.
And he loves you, and he has sent his blessings to you in more ways than we could possibly even consider. Amen.
Right. I've
so many times thought there's things the Lord has done for me that I'm totally clueless that he did.
Right.
Amen. But we know that his eyes are upon us, so we appreciate him. We know that this morning he's got something for us. Don't you believe that? So I just want to say a few words to you this morning before Brother Timothy comes up. Brother Timothy Miller, most of us have known him for many, many years. And so I'm glad that he's been able to come share the word of the Lord with us this morning. It's not been without adversity. He's had some little God was sick. And so Brother Timothy's wife had to stay home with her, with him this morning. And so we just ask God to go to them, bless them, replenish them, and so we really appreciate Brother Timothy taking the time out of his ministry to come down and be here with us. You know, God makes up his body the way he wants. He chooses, and he raises up different ones to play certain parts and different ones in other places to do different things. And who are we to ask God about what his mastermind is, right? And he does. You know, it wasn't just a few years ago Brother Timothy was to us, to me, he was just a teenager, and you know, nothing bad, but you know, like you look at a lot of teenagers, you're like, well, one of these days, I hope they get their act together, you know, so we kind of think of it that way, and little did we know, but the Lord had his plan for Brother Timothy to raise him up into the ministry, and now he's pastoring the church here, and speaking the word of the Lord as God puts it up on his heart, and so, you know, as I said, most of us, we know him for many years. He knows us. We love him. He loves us. We've got a lot of experiences that we've experienced together with him over the years. And all of those experiences create a relationship that we have with each other. And Brother Timothy, he has memories, and he has love, and he has admiration and things toward all of us. And so it's through those experiences and through that nature that has been built up in this brother to know us and to love us, that God wants to come down and speak to us through that, right, through that, through those experiences, through the one we knew as a young teenager, who now stands as a man taking on responsibility in the gospel. He has that love for us, and God wants to express to us through him in a way that only can come from him this morning. How many believe that?
Amen.
And so the way God wants to minister to us through the avenues he sends, we receive it.
Amen.
Amen. And so we've been looking forward to Brother Timothy coming to speak this morning. And so we'll receive him in the name of the Lord this morning. Amen. Right?
Amen.
And so God bless you, brother.
Amen.
Just appreciate it. God
bless you. Appreciate you having me. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. We'll let the musicians find their seats. If you want to be seated just for a minute, just a few things I'd like to say. Like Brother Tony, you know, I was just telling Elijah, I couldn't help but shed a tear when he came back there to pray with us. And I said, you know, you just can't comprehend what it does to us older people to see the young people stepping up to the
right,
to the plate, to serve the Lord. You know, and like Brother Tony said again, we go back many years. Brother Matthew's my cousin. I remember he was born. You know, I'll be 40 in February, and we've got an 84 crowd that's plowing for 40 as hard as we can go. And I'm trying to lead the herd, but I can't quite lead. There's someone ahead of me, but we'll leave that alone. But we go back many years with all of y'all, and I remember Sister Brittany and Brother Bryant, you know, when they were just little bitty, and Brother Tony's family was very young. I don't even think the girls were teenagers. Maybe Rachel might have been. Maybe. I was just talking to my wife. 17 years ago, we were dating. And she was 17, or 18 years ago, we were dating. She was 17. So it's been more years since we were dating than it was from the time we were dating to the time she was born. You know, over half of her life that we've been together. And so, you know, life has many, many turns and many things, you know, that we go through and things. And, you know, I was born and raised in the best of the best of homes. I believe that. I say that just not to praise my parents, but to praise God. God blessed me.
Yes, right.
I was very blessed. And my parents, you know, that people call them legalists, but I believe with all my heart that everything they did it to please God. Not out of fear of losing their salvation or something, but just right. because they wanted to please God. Right. And so that's the decision they made. But, you know, just in the recent years, this message, this word has come alive to me. You know, it really, knowing it, you know, hearing it, but it's something different when it comes live.
Right.
You begin to see, why do we believe what we believe? It's not about William Branham. He came to declare Jesus Christ to us.
Right.
He came to take these scriptures, and young people, heavens and earth will pass away, but this word right here
Amen.
Is our absolute.
Amen.
It's infallible. No matter what they say, you know, I see the accusations brought against Brother Branham. I begin to notice more and more that I see the same things was in the scriptures.
Right.
When he was alive, they accused him of tax fraud. Well, you look back, they said that was one of the accusations they brought against Jesus. They said he doesn't pay
right.
tribute.
Right.
Tax fraud.
Right.
Same thing. And there was they said that because of his associates, how could he be a prophet and associate with certain people that he associated with?
Right.
If this man knew was the Christ, he would know what manner of woman sits before him.
Right.
The same thing they said to Jesus. And there's right. many things like that, but I'm thankful that God and his grace. Because when I met y'all, Brother Tony, Brother Tim, I was sitting where some of these young men are sitting. But by the grace of God, he brought me out of that. He's given me a family. And it was just so wonderful to have my two older children here in the ministry with me. And you know, the gift that God has given them to see him using them for the glory of God, it's just overwhelming. No greater joy have I than that my children walk in the Lord. And Jonathan wanted to be here so bad. We called last night on video call, and he kept grabbing the keys and trying to take off, running off. I'm going to get in the SUV. I'm going down there to the motel, Mama. I'm going to the motel, Mama. I'm going to go down there with Daddy. And he just couldn't get it through his head that he had to stay home. But they said he had RSV, and we just didn't want to take a chance of somebody getting that or something, you know. So we know that God healed him. God did heal him because he was very, very sick one night, that Thursday night, Wednesday night. All night long, he just coughed and coughed and coughed, couldn't hardly sleep. And so Thursday is when we took him to the doctor. Thursday night, he slept through the night. He took a long nap Thursday evening. And so he's done just much, much better since then. So it's just the grace of God. But if you want to stand with me, if you'll turn in your Bibles, I could give you the scripture before. We'll open to Hebrews 12, verse 1. We'll just read the one verse and take a little thought on let us run and not be weary.
Amen.
If you'll hold Hebrews 12, we may read some more verses from there shortly, but for now we'll just read the one verse and we'll move along. Just thank Brother Tony for inviting us this morning, and kind of the privilege to be a part of the body of Christ, and to try to bring something and let the Lord speak to us, and to try to be a blessing and edifying. Excuse me. A little emotional. This is about it. Have a word of prayer before we read the word. Heavenly Father, Lord, God, in such a shifting world, Lord, that God, insanity is all around us, Lord. The only real peace we have, dear Lord, is in you. But Lord, we take great comfort knowing that Christ is the solid rock that we stand on, and that this word that we're about to read is infallible, Lord. And though Satan has tried every way that he can to pollute it, to dilute it, to change it, God, we have an infallible word that's been protected by the Almighty God that wrote it, Lord. And I pray that you will come and write these words upon our heart, Lord. Let them anchor in our hearts. Let us be changed, Lord, and drawn closer to you this morning. Lord, all I can do is yield myself, but I pray that I can get out of your way, that you can speak to your people this morning, Father. Discern every heart, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is a very familiar scripture here. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. You can have your seats. You know, there's something that I have I heard recently, a sermon that was titled Anointed to Pull. Brother Andrew Glover spoke about the anointing that we have to pull from the gift of God. When we go to church and we pull from the minister, and that only the bride understands that. And it's something that really just started wheels turning in my mind and thinking about that and how true that is, because when you go to church and it's just a social gathering, and the minister is the soul, the weight lays all upon him to try to stimulate the people, try to give them something, and then he doesn't have the correct understanding of the scripture, he's only going to be able to appeal to the flesh.
That's right.
So he's got to try to find something that would be, you know, emotionally exciting or something, and it's just use a word and I can't think of it, but it's just a social event.
Right,
it's
right.
Just a social event.
Right.
But when you understand, you realize, you know, God sent us a prophet, but he didn't send a prophet just to show what he could do through a prophet. That wasn't just his goal to show, look what I can do in a prophet. He sent the prophet to help cause us to understand and to believe Jesus Christ is just as alive today as he was 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, down through the ages. It's the same Spirit of Christ. We have that same Spirit that is living in a many-membered body, and he will do the same works today.
Right.
He wanted us to know what we possess. And so God gives him with a gift of discernment, that he would come down to people that he's never seen before. And we're all familiar that he would discern their heart, tell them where they live, tell them their name and things. And knowing nothing about them, it was just God supernaturally. But we know the word says that the Holy Spirit is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Amen.
The word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so we know that when we come to church, that we prepare our minds for the service.
Right.
We can't get our minds on Christ and things. Why? Because we want to be, right, our minds and our hearts to be pulling on the needs that we have in our life to get closer to God, the things that are hindering us, the things that are holding us back. We want to see answers. We want to find answers to those things. And so we know that that gift of the sign of the Messiah, the gift of the discernment of telling people all their personal, the intents of their heart is not with us right now. But that same Spirit is here, and it discerns the hearts. And though I'm not even aware of it, I may be repeating back words that you spoke on the way to church this morning.
Right.
Yeah. But it's not me. It's Christ coming down through the pull that you have. That's why it's such a battle. That's why Sunday mornings, why would the devil spend so much time trying to fight us on a Sunday morning going to church?
Right.
If it's just a social event, we're just going, getting together with friends, hanging out, studying a little bit on the Word, learning a little bit about God, why would he care? Why would he devote so much time to trying to hinder a service on a Sunday morning? Because he doesn't just want you to miss what's being said. He wants you to miss the opportunity to hold that need before the Lord. To have your mind and your heart centered on a need, on the word and on God, the need that you have in your life, so that you're not pulling and you miss that opportunity for God to come down and speak directly to your heart.
Right.
So we have an obligation to ourselves and to the others to prepare for the service, not just the minister, but
that's
the
right
church, to prepare our hearts and minds. Again, that's why you fight so hard. And that's what we want to look at, is some of these things. Why is it that Satan takes such a great attention to such little benign things?
Right.
Such things that just, he makes it seem so small and so harmless in our minds. You know, the scripture we read here says, being compassed about, we have a great cloud of witnesses. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Again, I'm sure we're all familiar with this, but I like that he says every weight and the sin. And the sin that does so easily beset us. Besetting, what I found, it says constantly present or attacking. And I think we're all familiar with that. We have things that just constantly, persistently. It's like if you just imagine running a race and there's a little dog running along beside you, just nipping at your heels, just biting away, trying to keep your attention away from the race you're running.
Yeah.
So we have these things that we deal with. But I noticed when I was reading this, it says, let us lay aside.
Right.
It doesn't say stop and address and fight head on. It doesn't say get a battle plan together to combat this issue in our life. It just says simply lay it aside.
Right.
It just sounds too simple, right? But again, when we know and we understand where things are coming, we understand that Sunday mornings are a battle because we want our minds in a certain place.
Right.
We want our hearts in a certain order. That's why we're fighting, because Satan doesn't just want, again, to keep you physically from being in the church.
Right.
He wants to keep you from pulling.
Right.
He wants to keep you from your position in the pew. But when we recognize and we know our position, then we're going to stand it. Then it's easier to lay that aside, because when you're not sure, when you don't understand, man, I just feel like staying home. I just may as well stay home. I ain't going to get nothing out of service anyways. But when you understand your position as a bride, when you see through the message of the hour, through the scriptures, that when our mental attitude is going to affect things.
Right.
So when we let that enemy come in and begin to say things like, I may as well stay home, our attitude's wrong.
Yeah.
And so now it's going to weigh us down. It's going to be something that will be said, something that will hold us back. It's a weight to us. But when we recognize, we understand, we have an anointing. I have a position. You say, well, all I do is sit in the service. I don't ever sing a special. I don't ever get up and play music. I don't do anything like that. I just simply go to church and sit in the pew. But that is your position.
That's right. Yeah.
You may not feel like it's anything, but you're there to put your lick of fire with somebody else's. And the devil wants you to be there, but be absent in spirit. He wants you to put you there and get you distracted. Let me tell you something. I've been to service many, many times where I walked away with a blessing I didn't deserve.
Right.
And something in my heart smote me and said, you didn't go with the right attitude. You didn't go prepared. You went in a terrible attitude, and look what God did for you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God is rich in mercy.
Amen. Right.
When you feel like you may as well stay home, kick that devil right in the teeth. Lay aside that weight. Just lay it aside. Don't even sit there and fuss with it. Don't worry about it. Don't reason with it. Just lay it aside and march on. Go right on into the house of God and see if God won't do something.
Right.
You know, one of the things that is that I never could grasp until recently, that God has really begun. I feel like I just really honestly feel like I just got saved in so many ways, because it's just been a carnal head knowledge for so, but there's so many things that God has been opening up and just coming alive. And one of the things that Brother Branham said so many times as he talked about sin is unbelief.
Right.
And you say, you know, smoking's not a sin, drinking's not a sin, committing adultery's not a sin. And I always thought, that's so benign. Why would you bring that out? What difference does it make? Because it's wrong. So it's not a sin, but it's still wrong. It's not. He's not condoning it in any way. So what difference does it make if it's sin or not? Unbelief is sin, yeah. But it's important to know the difference. Because you take two people that may do the same thing, that may commit the same exact act. We'll take cigarettes. You take two people that smoke a cigarette. One of them may sin, the other one may not. And that sounds silly, but it's not. Because one of them will sit there and you say, did I hear you were smoking a cigarette? And one of them will sit there and tell you, well, you know, yeah, I did, but you just don't understand how stressed I was this week. And the other one will say, you know what I did? And it was wrong. I hate these things. I want free from them.
Right.
And one of them doesn't believe the word of God. And they're fighting to do something they understand and they realize is not right. The other one knows it's wrong and it's not in their heart to do it. And when it's brought to their attention, whether it's God convicting, whatever, it's no excuses. We don't want no cover-up. We don't want nothing, no reasoning, no nothing. Lord, I'm sorry, I failed. You say, well, I do it every single day. Forget it. Forget it. Is it in your heart? Is that where you want to be? Don't ever let that become okay to you.
Yeah, right.
And it's not just smoking, it's whatever it is. You know what it is that you deal with and you fight with. Don't ever let the devil come and give you excuses. Because
right.
He'll give you some good ones and you'll feel like, well, you know, if you just understood, if you knew my circumstances. But if the word condemns it. And so you see, that's why it's important to know, because you can also have two people sitting next to each other on a bench in the church. And one of them could say, I have never done that in my life. And they're as guilty as can be. The other one would have to say, yes, I've done that before. And God says, I don't see it.
That's right.
And that sounds absurd. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
Because you take lust. We were talking about lust. Jesus said, when a man looks upon a woman to lust after her in his heart. He lusts after her in his heart. The Pharisees, they could stand there and say, I've never been with any woman that was incorrect. And then some other man that would be walking by on the street would have to hang his head and say, you know, I've been with several that wasn't my wife. And the Pharisees could hold their head up and really, and that's the exact reason why Jesus came to me and said, when you've looked in your heart, you've committed adultery. Now this man, if he's repented of it, then it's gone. He never did it. But the Pharisees sitting here condemning this man, in their heart, it was full of it.
Right.
Because it was unbelief.
And
so you understand that, you realize that it's not the physical. So you can be absent from the physical actions of the sin, but in your heart, you're yearning for it.
Right.
Condoning it. You're condoning it. Your reason, trying to cover it up.
Right.
Then sin. We want to lay these things aside. Again, I thought they're very interesting. I've never quite caught that before. He just says, lay it aside. We want to stop. We want to confront. We want to call a conference or something, you know, to figure out what we got to do about this.
Yep.
He said, lay it aside. Mm-hmm. But you know, we look at these things again, that little things that Satan wants to fight us. We know the Bible says we're a many-membered body. Okay? And so if we're a part of that body of Christ, what part of the body of Christ did they attack when they crucified him? Every inch of it. They didn't say just attack his head. They didn't just say poke out his eyes. They didn't just attack his toes or something. Every inch of his body was covered in blood. Every inch of his body was battered and bruised. Every bit of it. And so, again, you're sitting in the bench, you say, well, what different? Why does the devil attack me so much, fight me just from going to church, and I don't feel like I really pull any weight? Because if that's your position, are you in your position?
That's right.
He don't want you there. Yeah. You think about this world that we live in, and we've never had such a movement for freedom to be anything you want to be. Nobody can tell you you can't be that.
Right.
Until you mention that you'd like to be a godly housewife and stay at home and raise your children.
Right. Yeah.
There is no one to stand and advocate for you then.
That's right.
You're on your own, and the people that claim to be fighting for women's rights will turn on you and rend you like hogs.
Right. Yeah.
Why? Why is that? Why do they care?
Right.
Well, it's right here. Another man was preaching in adoption. He says, now who could doubt that? That's what Paul said. That's Paul's scripture. He's talking about predestination. That's Paul's writing. That's what he taught this church. The church positionally before the foundation of the world, when God in his labor pain was bringing forth you, knowing what you would do. He says, now listen, we've got to watch this. The church positionally, before the foundation of the world, in the mind of God, before the foundation of the world, God was in a labor pain bringing you forth, knowing what you would do. He positionally placed you into his own body to be a, what do you think the first thing he says is, prophet? No. Minister? No. Evangelist? No. Seminary student? No. The first thing that he calls out, he says he positionally placed before the foundation of the world to be a housewife, to be a farmer, to be a preacher. What's the last one he calls out? To be a prophet. See, we get things all mixed up sometimes. It's not about trying to be something.
That's right.
It's about being a Christian.
Yes.
It's about running the race. Looking at the prize that lies before us. Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, he lays before us. When our eyes are fixed on him and we are concerned with his business, then it doesn't matter if we're called to be a housewife. That's why that's under such attack, is because it's something that was ordained before the foundation of the world for women to do in God's economy, in the body of Jesus Christ. That's why he's attacked fertility. That's why he's attacked womanhood. That's why he's attacked headship. And try to make even the Christian women now, the denominational women and things, they'll fight you on it. When you want to be a submissive wife and stay at home and raise children, they don't want that. When you want to have the headship in the home as the word calls for it to be, and a wife be submissive to her husband, they say, no, it's not that his work, my work, it's our work. That's wrong. And this is a simple illustration of this. If I've got a nice big Dodge diesel truck sitting out in the yard, and I've got my little worn out minivan out here, how foolish would it be for me to say, well, you know what, it's not right for me to take that truck every time I haul a cattle trailer. That's just not fair. Poor little minivan sitting out there, it don't ever get to pull a trailer. It sounds absurd, don't it? Mm-hmm. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
That's exactly where we're at. We see the absurdity in it now because it's gone so far that it's extreme. Even a sinner can see it. But well, we had a message that called it out back when they were starting to give women more rights. Back when there was just little bits and say, well, I don't see why they shouldn't be able to vote. They ought to be able to drive. Come on, that's ridiculous. A woman can't drive? Well, it seems silly to me, kind of, you know. Sure, women drive all the time. Women drive semis and things. But what was it? It was taking a turn. It was taking a turn, an attack that Satan had, that he was directing an attack on our sisters. You understand that a woman has such a position that she could either be the greatest tool that the devil has, or she could be the greatest blessing that God could give a man.
Right.
It could be this God's greatest gift or Satan's greatest tool.
That's right.
That's why there's such an attack. See, it's just simple. It's like, why would they care? Why does it matter? If we're just being a quiet, we're not bothering nobody. We're not out here picketing and rioting and all these things for rights just to be a housewife and raise children. We're being quiet. Well, we're some of the nicest people that they've got out here. Some of the best. But what is it? Again, the body of Christ. He wasn't causing problems. He wasn't out there causing riots and things. He was out there helping and doing good. He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. He was bringing souls to Calvary. Bringing souls redemption. But they crucified him. It's the same thing for us brothers. You say, well, I just want to be a godly man. Just raise my family. Why is it you think it's so hard to find a job now where you can work decent hours, be in service and things, and still raise your family at home? And if you want to make any kind of money, they want you out on the road, gone all the time. They want you to work weekends. They want you to work nights. They want you. I mean, it's just,
right.
You're going to give something for it.
Yeah.
It's a fight. It's absolutely a fight. And they've got all their sports and all these different things. It's just constant trying to pull our attention, trying to take our attention. That's why it's important. We've got to know and understand who we are in this race. Because again, it's not about what position we hold, it's about how we hold that position.
Right.
How we hold that position.
Right.
And so it's like if you was to go down here to the car dealership. You go over here where Brother Daniel works, the car dealership. You go over there someday and you try to pull something over on, you get a hold of a mechanic and somebody that's been there a year and working on cars and you start raking them over the coals. Tell them about how they worked on a car. And they messed your car all up and it just don't run right and they're going to pay for your car and all this. You might pull something over on that guy. You might have him all shook up and he can't hardly sign the paper. He don't know what's going on. He don't really know what to say to you. But get the guy that designed that car. Get the engineer of that car to come out there and you start trying to tell him your nonsense, what you're making up about it. He won't get all worked up.
Right.
He won't get all shook. He'll just stand there and look at you and say, No, that's not how it is. I know about this car. I know how that works.
That's right.
But you take somebody, you give that same mechanic, give him a little more time on the job.
Yeah.
And you get that boss out there working with him, and that boss works with him side by side and says, look, when they come in here like that, don't let them shake you. This is our policy. We've got the videos. We'll take it back. This is how this works. And when that guy becomes sure of himself, you can't go in there and shake him like that no more.
Right.
And so we have an audience with the King of Kings.
Right.
We have an audience with the Lord. And when we stay in tune and fellowship with him, and Satan becomes a count. Me and Brother Tony were talking about these things in the office, and man, it really just stimulated me to think about this. That when we really begin to realize, I don't have to try to be something.
Right.
I'm running this race. I just need to run this race as God's called me to run this race with my eyes fixed on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
With him front and center in my life, trying to draw closer to him.
Right. Yeah.
That's all I've got to do. Just surrender to him.
Amen.
That's what we're called to do. And when we can do that, we have nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
We make things so hard. Time wears on us. Time is something that really wears on us. We don't realize how much that time affects us. But we get discouraged because we've fought against this, and we fought against this, and we fought against this. And that besetting sin, you know, has been so long now. We struggle to believe to overcome that.
That's right.
Why? Why should we? Do we have faith? How many here believes that if we could go out here and that God could get a hold of somebody, and if one of these drug addicts out here on the street would surrender their life to God, that he could transform their life, set them free from those things,
right,
raise them up, make them a child of God? You believe that?
Yes, amen. Amen.
If God can do that, tell me he can't give you the strength to lay aside
right. The
besetting
amen.
Sin.
Amen. Yes.
How is it that Satan has so set it in our minds that we can believe that God can heal cancer? God can raise the dead. But God can't help me as a father of teenagers not get frustrated with them. That sounds kind of silly to me, but it's the truth.
That's right.
It's the truth. It's not easy. It's hard. It's frustrating sometimes. You know, anybody that's raised teenagers, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, but I was there once. And I was probably worse than either one of mine. But you know what? I've got to believe that if there's power, that I can preach the gospel and I can see the dead raised, I can see drug addicts delivered,
right.
I can see all these things, but then I can't have enough victory in my life to deal with situations with teenagers in a victorious way. I believe that I can.
Yes, amen.
I believe that we can deal with the neighbor that's giving us trouble. We can deal with them in such a way. See, sometimes we look at our life, we don't see the fruit of the Spirit there.
That's right.
And maybe we're trying to, I want to be more patient. I'm trying to be more patient. You can't try to be more patient. It's hard. Mm-hmm. You're going to wear yourself out trying to be patient.
Right.
You're doing yourself no favor trying to be patient. He said, we've got to be patient. We do got to be patient. But you want the patience. You want the fruit of the Spirit. And then that is Christ on the inside, that all of a sudden you're being patient. Because you're being Christ.
Amen.
You're bearing his fruit. And you're not trying to be patient. You're just all of a sudden you are patient.
Yeah.
But that's Christ. It takes some opposition. It takes some trying and trials and things to really bring that out. But we get frustrated again because time. It's been so long. I've been serving the Lord all my life. And still I'm lacking here. I'm still not seeing this. You take a sick tree. And it's not really bringing forth fruit. And you just don't see it. Maybe it's got the leaves and things on it. But it really don't have the fruit on it. Sometimes just a little bit of water. Just a little bit of a fertilizer or something changed in that tree's environment. And all of a sudden, boom, man, that thing will just explode. We had an apple tree in our yard a few years ago. And we lived there for about 5 years. And each year it would bear fruit. And there would be little bitty apples. And they weren't real good and everything. One year, all of a sudden, that tree exploded. It had apples just as big as you buy in the store. Nice, big, pretty apples on it. Just loaded with them. What changed? I don't know. There was bees that had just taken up a hive in a tree next to it. And somebody said that could have done it. I don't know. We're creatures of time, so we get discouraged by the time that's passed. But God's eternal.
That's right.
How long does it take for him to change a situation in your life to where all of a sudden you're bringing forth fruit?
Amen.
You realize that faith is our victory. Okay? So we think of faith for a long time, for many years. I thought of faith, and when I would think of faith, I would think of healing. And that's what Satan has done to this religious world, all these great revivals and things that happened back in the early 1900s, he emphasized the emotions, he emphasized the healing, and most every 90% or 99% of the people missed what God was actually doing in that. Because what it was doing is it was bringing salvation.
Yes, that's right.
It was a revival that was going on, not to work the people up, not to just get a bunch of people healed, but to bring the plan of salvation, to bring the power of the gospel to the people.
Yeah.
And so that, yes, there was all these healings taking place, but the healings was just the net drawing the people in.
Amen.
It was pulling the people in so they could hear the gospel. If all they got from those meetings was healed, that's a sad, sad thing. And you'd see people testifying of being healed in Brother Branham's meetings and things, and then you see that they never did catch. They're still scared to death of his doctrine. Oh, stay away from his doctrine. Yeah, praise the Lord. I seen the pillar of fire come down and went right through my body, and I was healed, and I gave birth to a baby 10 years later, as he told me I would. Everything exactly like he said. Stay away from his doctrine. Ridiculous. Nonsense. The whole reason that he was here is because he was bringing the message to bring that the healing to catch the people's attention and draw them to the Word of God. Faith is our victory. Healing is that minor thing.
That's right.
So we say, well, it's not important to see healing. Well, you know what though? If we're right where we need to be, we don't have to manifest healing. The signs and wonders follow.
That's right.
You say, well, I haven't seen signs and wonders. Don't look at the time. Don't look how many years you've been serving God. Move closer to God.
Yes, amen.
Lay aside the weight. Lay aside. Go get in the closet and find out, Lord, what's these weights that's holding me down?
Right. Amen.
What's these weights? Many of the weights that we deal with has come from people.
Right.
Many times we carry scars, we carry wounds and injuries and things that slow us down and weigh us down. And the person that caused those things is gone completely. They forgot about it. It hasn't affected them at all. But it's still something that is deep in us. We may have a splinter still stuck in there, or an object, or shrapnel, or whatever, a wound from the enemy. And we need that healed. We've got to have that removed. We've got to have that taken out. We've got to get all that cleaned out until it's all healed up. And it's just a weight to us. It's just a hindrance to our health, and it's not hurting that person at all. You know, when a sinner repents, and they're forgiven of their sins, and they feel so free and all that, that's halfway there. But when they give forgiveness, that's when you find the other half of it.
Amen.
Lay those weights aside. Get rid of the weights. Again, don't look at how long. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. Don't look at your life and think about, you know, it, overnight in the presence of God. Aaron's rod went from a dead rod and it started bringing forth fruit.
That's right.
And started bringing forth leaves in the presence of God. We need to get in the presence of God, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Not just some revival and evangelist come to the church or something in our private closet. Like that's,
yes,
I think,
that's
where we messed up a lot of times is trying to gauge our experience or our spirituality or something on how we feel after the meeting.
Yep, that's right.
And that's wrong. It's how do you feel during the week?
Yes.
And then discard that feeling because the feeling's wrong.
That's right.
How do you serve God? Where's your walk with God in the middle of the week? When Satan's hitting you from every side, where's your walk with God? And that's where it's important to know.
Yes.
You know, again, we take that big Dodge truck, and it's going to pull the cattle trailer. We can pull it off the parking lot and it'll be fine. But when I get over to the hills and heading back home, dropping up and down the mountains, when I'm going up them hills, that's going to tell the tale of how that truck's running. Mm-hmm. But back to that illustration, you'll tear that, you'll destroy that van, trying to give it an equal opportunity. And you take a lady that was put in a position to do what God has called her to do, and you'll destroy her when you try to make her equal with the man. That man has been a huge blessing to me. I put 130-some thousand miles on it, hardly had to do anything to it. It's been a huge blessing. And if I would curse that thing trying to make it equal with somebody else's truck, it would destroy it. But if I'll use it as it was intended to be used, it'll continue to give me many more miles. If you'll just be what God's called you to be.
Right.
Don't worry about what the world says about women nowadays. The world is wrong, and we see that now.
Right.
We see that their ideas and their opinions is only poison.
That's right.
But here we are, caught in time. We get so weary because of time. We get so weary because we've tried so hard, we've run so long, but just a moment in the presence of God can change everything. Again, faith being our victory. It's not just for our healing. It's for our deliverance. It's for our overcoming sin.
Amen.
All these things that we deal with in our life, faith is where it lays. Where do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the Word of God. And just that quick, your favorite verse that you memorized in Sunday school can be dead to you, but it can come alive and be quickened and be something that can overgive a victory in your life. God can take something and quicken it just that quick. It don't need a moment.
Right.
Forget about time. Say, Lord, I want to walk anew with you today. Yeah. I want a new experience today. I want to run this race. It's not just him that runs, but it's he that endures to the end. We know that.
Right.
Find a position. You say, well, I don't know what my position is. Now read the Word.
Amen.
Again, we've talked about the housewives. We've talked about the women. Well, it's real simple. It's just too simple. But as men, you know, maybe whatever we're doing, you know, if we're plumbing, or if we're working at a factory, building houses, I've got to remember when I'm building a house that that house is a testimony of Jesus Christ.
Right.
My workmanship on that house, not just what I do when I hit my thumb with a hammer, but my work ethic. You know, there's my friend that I work with. That guy is very particular about his work. And we have other people that work with us and stuff. They've hired a couple of new guys, and though they've been doing it all these years, they get in there and they just start slinging nails and stuff, and he gets frustrated. He's like, man, we're not getting ahead. We're just not getting ahead because we've got to go back and fix this down the road if something don't change. And get out after them and say, hey, this has got to be changed. You've got to do this different. Well, as a Christian, for me, I realize that my workmanship, if I'm sloppy and haphazard, and it don't reflect Christ. But at this moment, in this time, that's where I've been called to labor. And I want my work, my attitude while I'm there, my workmanship, I want it all to reflect Christ.
Yes, amen.
It's just simple. Well, you know, do I want more people in the church or do I want more of this? I want to see sinners saved. That's what I want to see. And if somebody could be blessed there and God sends them there, that, make sure it's God. That's my only stipulation. Make sure it's God. Don't come just because you like us. Stay where you're at, where God's called you to be. But if God sends people, that I want to see souls saved. I want to see people that's never surrendered to the Word, never heard the gospel come. That's what I want to see. That's my mission, is to reach the lost. I want to see the ones that are already there stimulated. I want to see new growth. I want to see new fruit coming forth. I want my life and everything that I do. Again, as a father of teenagers, I want that part of me to reflect Jesus Christ. As a father of a toddler, I want my life. My wife was getting her workout yesterday because when we left, he was just falling apart and she had a handful. But you know what? God cares about those things.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
God cares when the toddlers have us pulling our hair out. He does. He absolutely does. And the devil don't want us to think about those things. But I've said a lot of times, I'm going to say it again, the devil is petty.
That's right.
I haven't said it here a lot of times, but the devil is petty. There's nothing too small that he won't go there.
That's right.
There's nothing too small. And if you think that the devil is that dedicated and God isn't, you're wrong.
Right. That's right.
If the devil cares enough about you to try to torment you in your home, in your family, in your children, in your marriage, whatever it is, if he cares enough to take his time to try to bring disorder, God 1,000 times more wants to bring order there.
Amen.
He wants to bring peace. He wants to bring joy. He wants to bring godliness, fruit. He wants us to rule. If we can speak to the storms, and the storms will cease, how much more ought we be able to overcome these little things?
That's right.
There's a song that says, oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Right.
right.
Oh, what needless pain we bear.
Right.
He said, well, I do carry everything to go. When I have trouble, that's where the first place I go. What about these little things?
Right.
What about when we're trying to figure out where we want to go to eat and there's miscommunication and we're frustrated with each other and you know, well, I thought you wanted to go here and I thought you said you was going there. And is God pleased in it? No. Does he want us to be able to overcome those things?
Amen.
Absolutely. Yeah. I believe that with all my heart. We want to see the dead raised.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see the dead raised. Nobody wants to die. But we want to see these things. We want to see miracles and things. But let's take our faith. It's like if we want to go win a fight. I worked out in over here at Sparks years ago. I used to work out down there. There's a guy that come in there. And he wanted to be a fighter, but he wanted to be a street fighter. He said, I want to be a street fighter. He said, I just don't have the endurance. He said, I don't want to. You go in the cage, man, you got to go round after round after round after round. And, I don't know about all that. He said, but I know if I can get in there and knock him out, well, I have him knocked out in no time. I don't need all those rounds and stuff. I just want to be a street fighter. I thought, what a sissy. What a wimp that he would, you know, think that I'm tough and he's big, you know, little legs and big upper body and everything. He looked like he probably could knock somebody out if he could get hit him on him. And I thought, what a wimp to back out like that, you know, to try to take a cheap cop out. Why don't you just fight little kids or something, you know? You can beat them up. Why don't you find little guys to fight? I mean, go in the cage. There's a reason they go by weight categories and things to make it a fair fight. I don't want to be like that. I want to be faithful to the end because it's not me, it's him.
That's right.
There's a reason that it calls it the good fight. There's an illustration here, a story that Brother Branham tells that has really ministered to me, and it really speaks, I think, of laying aside the weight. He says, I'm looking at a man now sitting in the back of the room here. I remember telling him that on an old barn stall one day by a manger. So here we are, just a farmer just out talking. Just a conversation with a farmer out here. He said, well, that was with the prophet of God. Jesus Christ lives inside of you. When you become confident of that, when you become in tune and fellowship with God, and you realize that God can speak through my lips, God can deliver my friend, my neighbor, my acquaintance in the grocery store. God can deliver the bound, can set the captives free through my lips. God can deliver through a housewife. God can deliver through a plumber. God can deliver through a bricklayer. God can deliver through a farmer. All those positions. Remember, he said, from the foundation of the world, God was thinking of those things, placing people in these simple positions. When you become confident of that, I don't have to be in church. I don't have to feel spiritual. I can just let God speak through my lips. And that's what was going on right here. He said, he stood by him in the manger. He said, but I'm no good. I said, I know you're not. He didn't pump the man up. He said, I know you're not. He said, I'm not either. And see, we look at that. Again, we look at this, and many times I've been guilty of feeling like, well, that was just him being humble. He was the prophet. No, it was the truth. It was him being honest.
Right.
He didn't earn the title of the last messenger. That was God's grace and God's foreknowledge that he would be the man that could stand that job. And so, but he didn't earn that title. He said, I'm not either, and that's what he meant. William Branham couldn't do it. Christ was the only way. But I said, you're looking at what you are. Quit looking at what you are and look at what he is.
Amen.
He said, if I could just get rid of these cigarettes, Brother Branham, I would be a Christian. I said, don't get rid of them. You're trying to get good and then come to him. He never come to save good man. He come to save bad man that know they were bad. If he cares about bad men, how much more does he care about his bride and the struggles and the frustrations and the times that we feel like we're at the point of giving up? How much more does he care about that? He said, well, I said, listen, you don't want to go to hell, do you? He said, no. I said, well, you don't have to. He died that you might not have to go. He said, what do I have to do? I said, nothing. It's just that simple. He said, but if I can ever, I said, there you go, back to that cigarette again. See, that's a weight.
Right.
He's carrying this weight.
Right.
He's got these cigarettes that's holding him down, and he's trying to want to run this race, but he's like, man, this is just too heavy. And that's what Brother Brown's saying. He's not telling him, again, he didn't tell him, well, you go and get in a program. You go and you fast and pray for 2 weeks or you do some great something. He didn't tell him that. He didn't say go on a prayer line. He didn't say any of that. He said, lay it aside.
Right, yeah.
He said, just remember, think about him, what he did, what he is, not what you are. You just imagine this man smoking a cigarette and his heart just condemning him and he just hating this. And he's thinking about, man, I've got to get rid of this so I can serve God. But the prophet's telling him, stop thinking like that and think, you know what, I'm doing this. But Christ died that I don't have to be a slave to this. I don't have to be bound by these things. I will rise above them. You remember when we go back to healing, again, we think of healing and faith, we tie the two together. But faith is so much more than healing. Faith is our victory.
That's
so
right.
That faith is building. He's got a little weak faith, just enough faith to realize and confess what the prophet told him to confess. The prophet said, put your eyes on him and start confessing him. So he starts to obey that. That's faith. It wasn't enough faith to just miraculously throw him down and say, you know what, I don't even want him no more. He didn't have that much faith. But there was enough faith to do and obey and to move. Take the first step. And so he began to move in faith. He said, but remember, you're no good, and you never was, and never will be. But what he is, he's the one. And I said, now the only thing you have to do is he took your place down there. You just willingly accept what he did. Only thing you have to do is just accept it. Why, he said, that's simple. I'll do that. I said, here's the creek. So I brought him up there and baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. He said, some of his people are sitting here, and I know they felt funny at me for doing that. Why? Because they had the sin pegged as the action of a cigarette going in this man's mouth. And as long as they've seen that cigarette, the problem comes when that man lays down his cigarettes, everybody claps and applauds, and they say, praise God, he's saved. No, he's not.
Right.
He's got to receive what Christ has done for him. He's got to commit that to Christ. Believe. He's got to believe. That's what he's got to do.
That's right.
He's got to believe.
Amen.
If he lays those cigarettes down and still has the unbelief, he's gotten nothing.
Right.
That's what Brother Brown was telling him. Don't try to get good. Because your unbelief is what's wrong there. So these people, they were looking at the outward action of this man, and they were condemning him and feeling like he shouldn't be baptized. They felt funny at me for doing that, but I know what I was doing. I seen in the man something that was genuine. I could see it there. And I took him and baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just pause here again. You just imagine this man standing before the prophet, and the prophet looks down there, and he sees two little leaves sticking up out of the dirt. I just like to imagine that. Do you think you might have a couple of little leaves sticking up somewhere down in there? And you think, well, I don't see the fruit, Brother Timothy. Well, is there any leaves down there? Look down, dig the leaves back a little bit, the old dead leaves. Dig those twigs and stuff back. Scrape back and look down there in the dirt. If you see a little speck of green, it might be the next morning you wake up and that thing already popped through the ground and this tall. Give it some water. Go read your Bible and pray. Just simple. Read your Bible and pray. Get your eyes on Christ. You know what? It's going to grow just a little bit taller. But that's what the prophet said. He said, he's seen something in that man. I'm just going to type it as a little green leaves, little bit of green poking up out of the dirt. And he knew it's already there. I see the seeds there. I see that it's coming forth life there.
Right.
He needs a little water on that life. He needs to stop worrying about what all's around it. He needs to get some water on there and
that's
it'll
right.
grow.
Amen.
Then when we did that, it wasn't long after that, till I went down to his son's house, we seen a vision of a tree being broke at a certain place, and a man fell and almost broke his back. Took him in the hospital, and that night the Lord revealed to me that was the end of cigarettes. So the next day, he wanted some cigarettes. I said, I'll buy him a carton and take it to him. You just watch and see, his cigarette days are done. He's never smoked one since, never wanted one since.
Amen.
God. The first thing you've got to do is come to that fountain.
Amen.
You've got to come to that water. Realize it's nothing that you can do. It's what he done for you. You don't have to dig. You don't have to pump out. You don't have to quit this. You don't have to quit that. The only thing you have to do is get there and drink. And that's all.
Amen.
If you're thirsty, drink. Another place he said you might not have the spontaneous faith to bring something, just a miracle, right to you. You might not have that kind of faith. But Jesus says if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be moved, and by it would come to pass. It wouldn't vanish it away, but by and by it would come to pass. Now the mustard seed won't mix. If we know, no matter how simple our calling, no matter how simple our position, then we can be bold and we can stand our ground. You know, if you was to go over to the car dealership again, we'll use this example. You was to go over there and you'd approach the janitor and you'd start to rant and rave at that man. He'd say, man, I'm sorry. I sure hate that about your car. But I'm here to sweep these floors. And what they did out there in the shop, if they did you wrong, I'm sorry about that. I sure hate that. This is my company. I work here. I'm just the janitor, though. And I try to keep these floors as clean as I can. And I hope that they do the best they can out there, too. But if they mess you up, I'm sorry. But I can't help you on that.
That's right.
Let me get you. Because he's confident. He's there to sweep the floor. He's not worried about what's going on around him. He's not worried about what's happening out there. So when the church shakes or the neighbors shake or the family shakes or something, we don't have to get shook up about that. Our simple little place where God has placed us, stay right there. Talk to some of these musicians. And you ask them and find out what a mind battle you have just to play the drums sometimes.
All right.
Is anybody here that plays the drums besides my son? Nobody else? Brittany did. That's right. I knew Brittany did. I forgot. Wasn't thinking about it. I give my son a hard time about it, but I don't try to discourage him from playing them, just certain styles. The devil ever tell y'all that it wasn't no good, you may as well not even do it? What about the bass guitar? Brother Matt, you ever fight mind battles about playing the bass guitar? Anybody else play music in here? You ever fight a mind battle over it? Why? Because that's something that God has placed in your life. And the devil doesn't want anything that God has placed being left unturned. Brother Tony comes, and he ministers, and he's the pastor of the church. But you don't think the devil, don't try to put little thoughts in there to discourage him? Of course he does.
That's right.
And you little things that are silly and nonsense. And maybe if the devil would tell you, well, you know, Brother Tony, I'm going to tell him this. You'd think, good luck, devil. That doesn't mean nothing to him. But it's a mind battle. It's something that you have to be confident. You know what? I know that God has called me here. Brother Tony gave a testimony years ago that has really stood with me about going to work at Balador. And I've seen that very exact same testimony time after time. You pray about it. God opens doors. You move into what God is calling you to. You move that direction. And all of a sudden, the storm breaks loose of your life.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, you feel like, oh, I've done messed up. No. You prayed. You asked God. You said you felt. I had a lady at the church in Moundville one time that she had prayed about a job. And she started to take one. And she stopped and she said, I want God's will on my job. And she went to the pastor and she went to Brother Eric. She said, I want to know that I'm doing the right thing. I want to know that I'm where God called me. She was, all her children were grown. She had two daughters at home who were teenagers, I guess. Or maybe early 20s. They were teenagers at the time, I guess. But anyways, she stopped, and she wouldn't take a job until she prayed, and she counseled, and she sought the will of God, and then she accepted the job that she felt led to take. And she would drive by the lumber yard where I was working in the mornings, and one morning she stopped, and she said, pray for me, because, man, this is I thought that this is where God wanted me to go. I thought I was certain this is what I was supposed to do, but it's just been nothing but a terrible fight ever since. And I said, sister, let me tell you something. This is what I've been told, and this is what I've seen in my own life. You stopped. You didn't rush into this. You prayed. You sought the Lord. God opened these doors. You walked through the doors. Don't let the devil back you down for a minute. You stand your ground and stand firm. And that goes for anyone. It doesn't matter what the position is that you're, stand your ground. If you're not certain, you go pray and you find God's will. Seek the Lord. Let it become your consuming passion.
Right.
Let it take priority in your life. Lord, I've got to know. I've got to know where I'm supposed to be standing right now. I feel like this isn't where I should be. And when you get that answer from God, you hold on to that and make sure it's right with His Word. If it's according to His Word, then you hold on to that. Don't let nothing shake you from it. And then come to the music. Don't be weary, saints. It doesn't matter how long the battle that you're in has been raging. It doesn't matter how hopeless it feels. That's all got to change by faith. The Word of God is greater than any opposition that we can face. And faith is not some great special weapon that can only be accessed in certain large emergencies and certain criteria. Faith is something we can activate. Faith is something we can use when we sit down to eat a bowl of cereal in the morning. And the world is scared to death because this cereal's been recalled, or or we found out the cereal we ate this morning was recalled. We can activate our faith and say, Lord, they're saying that's contaminated and I just ate it. We just found out that this, or we found out that Jonathan's got RSV. I'm not going to go over there and try to prove my faith by drinking after him or something, but if I take a drink after him, I'm not going to sit there and sweat it and worry about it. When COVID was so rampant and everything, I had more reservations about the vaccine, that's right. I had more reservations, more concerns about the vaccine. I felt like they were probably both man-made, I don't know. I'm just beyond nothing. But I really feel like that it's whatever. But the thing is, again, we know our position. We know that God's called us to overcome. Drink deadly things that won't harm them. Every disease, every enemy has been placed under his feet. So if they force me somehow to take the jab, they come behind me and jab me with it. I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. It's not the mark of the beast. It's not going to shake my faith or cause me to waver in God. Because I know where I stand. I know where He's called me to be. And I'm where He's called me to be. And He will make a way through every trial. Will you come?
know, that's a deliberate act. I don't believe Paul would have said that if it wasn't something we could actually do.
That's right.
It'd be kind of silly for him to sell us to do something that's not possible.
That's right.
But he did say that. And you know, it's just that simple. You know, when you're in the battle and fighting, it doesn't seem that simple, but it is that simple to just lay it to the side. All these things that are in there, everything that Satan tries to tell you, whatever he wants to chirp you up with, just lay it to the side, because if he opens his mouth, he's lying.
That's right.
Right? He's got a reason. You know, Brother Timmy said, why would they care? Well, I tell you why they care, because as long as you're walking where God wants you to walk, you are a problem.
Yes, amen.
You're a danger to them. They don't want to, they don't want what you have to get caught on and somebody else to get it. And so we know that to be the truth. You know, the path that God wants you to be on is the one you're on. That's right. God doesn't want you to try and be faithful to something that's not even your abilities. He wants you to be faithful in where he's placed you.
Amen.
You say, well, I want to do this or I want to do that. Just walk with him and he will take you where he wants you.
Amen.
He's the man, he's the one that lays that pathway before you. Just walk it. Walk it with faith. Walk it with humility. Just believe. Just walk it, but make sure you're walking with him. And then just run that path well. You know, Brother Timmy's talking about time. And I say this all the time, that God has access to everything to use as a tool. And it doesn't matter to him if it takes 15 years just to get one little thing over in your life, to get you finally to surrender one thing. Time is just a tool in his hand. Amen. We really appreciate all the things that Brother Timothy has said for us. I just really enjoy that. Pray that if any of those who aren't here today will go back and listen to us, we would encourage them to do that. Amen. Let me love the Lord this morning.
Amen.
You feel refreshed. You see Sister Shirley here. She's had a battle this week. The devil's a liar, sister. Isn't that right? He's a liar. And many are the affliction of the righteous, right? But God delivers them out of all of them. Not just some, but all of them. Amen. Might take a little time, but God is faithful to do exactly what he's promised. He's got a bride on this earth. And you know what? She believes. She believes this message. The world has rejected, but God's got a people. This message burns in their heart. This is the thing that is every day, constantly, all day long. This is what's in their mind. This is what's their, I just want to please him. I just want to walk right. I just want to, how many knows what I'm talking about? Every day, all day long, I just want to run well, do right, walk well. Amen. That's because you're a part of the bride. Amen. It's been good to be with you this morning. Let's sing that again, and we'll let you.